Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Mark Levonier, your host for an hour of crime. Later on, the renowned series The Lineup, but right now one of the more short-lived ones from radio's past, The Clock. The syndicated episode from March 20th, 1956, called Guilty as Always.
Sunrise and sunset. Promise and fulfillment. Birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
Time is a changeling as frisky as a colt and very fond of parlor tricks. Its collaborator in practical skullduggery is the air age, which has reduced the shortest distance between two points to an even shorter distance. Yes, time is a practical joker, but so is nature. The old lady has a way of pulling rabbits out of a hat that sometimes makes the very stars in the heavens rock with laughter and occasionally turns the heart of mortal man to liquid ice.
You sent for me, Mr. Waynard?
Oh, yes, Rolfie. Sit down. Cigar?
Oh, thanks, Mr. Waynard.
How long have you been a detective, Sergeant Brophy?
10 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 10 years. And another 10 years from now, you'll be a lieutenant. And that's about as far as you'll go.
Well, you can't expect much more in a town this size. It's not a very big place, you know.
It's big enough for a man with ambition. Take me, for instance. I've been prosecuting attorney now for just 6 months. But within the next 6 months, I hope to be mayor.
Well, you've got a good record, Mr. Waynard. 98% of the cases you've tried end up in convictions.
100%, Brophy. So far, I haven't missed. And I don't intend to, either. Which brings me to the Lawrence case.
Well, I guess that's one case you'll never get a chance to prosecute, Mr. Waynard.
Why not?
Because we haven't solved it.
But that's ridiculous. A young girl is stabbed to death after being brutally beaten and robbed, and you say it can't be solved. Do you realize how the people in this town feel about that crime?
I know.
They're frightened, worried, fearful for their loved ones. They're waiting for an arrest, Brophy, and a conviction.
Well, what can we do, Mr. Waynard? We haven't got a shred of evidence to work on.
Brophy, Ann Lawrence's murder was one of the most publicized crimes in the county in years. And the man who puts a rope around the neck of her killer will be a hero.
It would be a feather in your cap, I know. I wish I could make the pitch.
A feather in my cap? Why, do you realize it would ensure me the election?
Well, I still say we've got nothing to work
on. Then find something to work on. Dig a little deeper. Bring in a suspect. I guarantee if you bring him in, I'll see him hanged. There'd be no question, Brophy, about my career once that happened.
I guess not.
And no question about yours, either. How would you like to be commissioner of police?
Yeah, we don't have a commissioner now, Mr. Waynard. The chief's our top rank.
The chief is a buttonhead. That's why I'm talking to you. And as far as the office is concerned, I'll create a commissioner of police after I'm elected.
Well, that sounds good, but...
Oh, just a moment. Oh, Waynard speaking. Oh, yes, just a second. One of your men, Brophy.
Thanks. Yeah? When? And where did you pick him up? Blood on his clothes.
What's up?
I just picked up a tramp near the railway yard. They found blood on his coat.
We'll be over in 15 minutes.
Be right over, Dunnigan.
What a break. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, but this guy may not have had anything to do with the Lawrence case.
That's the kind of negative thinking that gets you nowhere, Brophy. It might be wiser if we both proceeded on the theory that he did.
I just got into town, Mr. Waynard.
Where are you from?
Carson City.
Your family there?
I don't have any family.
What are you doing here?
I don't know. I thought maybe I could get a job.
What about those bloodstains on your clothes?
Why do you keep hounding me this way? I'm not a criminal.
Answer Mr. Waynard's question. Where did you get those bloodstains?
All right. I'll tell you. I stole a chicken in the next town. I was hungry. I hadn't eaten for days. I stole a chicken and killed it myself. I guess they let me in for a petty larceny charge. But honest, I intended to send the farmer his money as soon as I got back on my feet.
A chicken? You hear that, Brophy? He killed a chicken.
Yeah, I heard.
But it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
Can you prove you only just got into town?
Well, no.
How did you get here? Hitchhiking?
Well, I hopped a freight. I rode the rod.
Too bad you don't have any witnesses to prove you were somewhere else 2 days ago.
Why?
Because that's when Ann Lawrence was robbed and killed. And I'm holding you for the murder, Claney. My witness said he saw a man running away about 2 blocks from where the body was found.
But it wasn't me, Mr. Wiener.
No. He saw him from behind, about 5'11", brown suit, narrow shoulders.
Well, that cuts it almost anybody.
Including you?
Nah.
Yes. And it fits you, Claney, like a glove. And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the evidence speaks for itself. My distinguished opponent, the attorney for the defense, has tried to prove that the evidence was all purely circumstantial. Well, why not? Whoever said a guilty verdict could not be handed down on circumstantial evidence alone, providing it was a strong one. The safety of our wives and daughters may depend upon your verdict. If this man is set free, it will be a green light for every foul and ruthless beast who happens to wander under our jurisdiction. I ask of you, I beg of you, to consider this very carefully and return a verdict of guilty in the first degree.
You wanted to see me, Claney?
They're going to hang me, Mr. Wiener.
You asked for it.
They're going to hang me because you're such a brilliant attorney.
Oh, you flatter me.
You know the evidence against me was weak, but you were clever enough to make it appear to be strong.
You had a trial by jury. You're suggesting that you were framed?
But what did you have against me? Why did you hate me so much you had to do this to me?
If you've got nothing more than that to tell me, Claney, I'm afraid I have to leave. I'm making a train for Chicago in half an hour, and I don't have much time.
I guess you'll be back for my execution.
It won't make any difference to you.
I'd like you to be there, Mr. Wainwright. I'd like to be looking into your eyes when I die, so...
I'll try to give you that satisfaction.
You're a cool one, aren't you? Mark Wainwright, the man who never lost a case. Mark Wainwright, the people's choice.
All right, if it'll make you feel any better, call me names. Go on, swear at me. They all do it sooner or later. I won't hold it against you.
No, I'm not going to call you any names, Mr. Wainwright. But if I had just one wish before I died, it would be this. One day I want you to feel the way I've been feeling. One day I'd like you to know what it means to be an innocent man. Hounded, beaten, and accused of being a murderer. When you've been through that, Mr. Wainwright, you'll know what I've been through. And heaven help you.
Brophy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wainwright. Mind if I sit down?
No, not at all. Well, what are you doing aboard this train?
I'm going to Newfield. Mm-hmm. Order a new scaffold.
Oh?
I'll have it in plenty of time for hanging.
You're due for a promotion, Brophy.
Am I?
Yes, you'll be given a lieutenant's rating. Now, talk it over with Mayor Libby. And after the next election, Brophy, you may be in for something even bigger.
Yeah, I'd just as soon not have a promotion, Mr. Wainwright.
Why not?
Well, I don't think I deserve one.
But you're getting it on the strength of the Lawrence case.
Mm. Yeah, that's just what I mean.
What are you driving at?
Nothing, Mr. Wainwright. Forget it. Mind if I look at your paper?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, funny.
What is?
Did you read this, this about this guy Beach? He's on the front page again.
Oh, they caught him?
No, not yet.
Let's see, he escaped from prison almost a week ago, didn't he?
Yeah, 2 days before they were going to give him the chair.
Uh-huh.
He's just about the most dangerous animal alive right now. He's armed with a gun, and no cop is going to take him without a fight.
Where do they think he was headed for?
Chicago. Police have been alerted all along the line. They've got orders to shoot on sight. Yeah, the cops aren't the only ones who'll kill him on sight. The gangsters are laying for him, too. Yeah, this guy doesn't have a friend in the world. Reminds me a little of Hank Cleaney.
I don't like the way you seem to sympathize with that killer, Brophy.
Sorry.
He was tried and convicted. Now, let's forget about it, huh?
Sure. Have you seen Beach's picture?
No, let's see.
Yeah.
He's fat, isn't he?
Just his face. The rest of him is built like a whip. He's got your build, Mr. Waynard.
Well, I keep myself in good condition. At least I was in good condition before that trial started. Somehow it took a lot out of me.
I didn't want to say so, but I noticed you've been looking poorly.
Huh?
Yeah, your eyes are kind of puffy, and so is your face.
Really?
Hmm.
Oh, here, move over.
Okay.
I want to look in that mirror between the seats. Well, it's funny. I hadn't noticed it before. My face looks swollen.
Maybe you ought to see a doctor.
Yeah, I think I will when I get to Chicago. Can you recommend anyone?
I don't know a soul in that town, Mr. Waynard.
No, neither do I.
You're going there to attend a legal convention, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, I could see Dr. Cartwright when I get back home. Yeah, but I won't wait. I'll consult a physician in Chicago.
Well, there's probably nothing to worry about.
No, I guess not, but... Well, what are you staring at me like that for?
Take another look at this picture of Beach. Here in the paper.
Huh? Well, what about it? What are you talking about, Brophy?
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but with your face all swollen that way... You look just like him.
What's wrong with
you? Oh, it's nothing to get excited about, Mr. Waynard.
Look at my face. It's puffed up like a balloon. I don't look like myself at all.
It's just an allergy. You're probably allergic to wholesome food, perhaps.
An allergy? Is that all it is?
Yes, it looks bad, but it's nothing serious. It should disappear in, about a week or 10 days.
Uh-huh.
Where are you living while you're in Chicago, Mr. Waynard?
Oh, I've got a room at the Hotel Standard, but I haven't checked in yet. I left my suitcase across the street in the station and came here directly.
I'm rather worried, naturally. Well, I suggest you consult your own physician when you get home.
Uh-huh.
He may be able to prevent a recurrence.
Yes, well, thanks a lot, Dr. Payne. Will it cover the fee?
Oh, yes. Odd, but you seem to remind me of someone.
Do I?
Yes, someone I've seen very recently.
A friend, Dr. Payne?
No. Wait a minute, I've just remembered. What did I do with that newspaper?
There's a paper on the chair.
Oh, yes, that's the one. There was a picture in here of someone this morning.
Who? What, Dr. Payne?
Why, it's amazing. This man Beach, the killer they're looking for. Oh, I don't mean any offense by this, Mr. Waynard.
Well?
But if I didn't know about your present condition, I'd swear this picture was yours.
Taxi, mister?
Yes, I was waiting for a cab, but I...
Hop in. I'm an independent.
You're...
Quick, hop in. We're holding up traffic.
I'm going to the Hotel Standard.
Know where it is?
No. Do you?
Sure.
Young lady, are you sure you operate a legitimate taxi cab? Where's your meter?
Cut the comedy. You sure got nerves. The very cop in the country waiting to pot you like a rabbit. You're picking a hot town like Chicago to hole up in.
What are you talking about?
Look, you don't have to put on an act for me. I'm not turning you over to any dick.
Oh, wait a minute. I think you're getting me mixed up with someone else.
All right. Have it your own way. Maybe you don't appreciate what I'm doing. Joey Proctor saw you come out of the station and cross the street to that office building. He called me and I picked you up.
Just who do you think I am?
Either Santa Claus or Charlie Beach. And Santa's got a long white beard, honey.
Beach?
That was quite a break you made. I understand you killed two guards on your way out of jail.
Oh, look, I'm not Charlie Beach. I suggest you let me off at the next corner.
What?
You heard me. My name's Waynard, and I happen to be an attorney.
My name's Lady Godiva, only I lost my horse.
Don't be funny and stop this car.
I've been away too long, Charlie. Maybe you don't know the cops have set you up like a pigeon. Every cop in town knows you by sight. And this time they're going to shoot first and ask the questions later.
Let me out of this car, you fool.
Suit yourself. See that cop on the corner?
Yeah. What about him?
If you start walking in its direction, you might change your mind. Well, what are you waiting for, a big shot?
It's ridiculous. I'll just go up to him and explain, that's all.
Sure, go ahead.
Where's my suitcase?
Hey, you!
What? Seen us. Close that door.
He's shooting at us.
Well, Charlie, do you want me to drop you off at the next convenient corner?
No. I'll stay in the car. With you.
Even time moves fast when the bullets are flying, as Mark Waynard is discovering right this minute.
Cigarettes, Charlie?
No. And I wish you'd stop calling me Charlie. I tell you, you've got the wrong man.
The cop would have been surprised to hear it.
Look, I have an identification in my wallet. There you are, see? My name's Waynard. There it is on the card.
Who'd you steal the wallet from?
Isn't it possible for me to identify myself? Can't I go into a police precinct and give myself up and then...
He isn't a chump, Charlie. The cops only fall once for a gag like that. Remember the last time some cop challenged you and you started to give yourself up?
The last time?
You let him get within shooting distance and you blew his head off. Now, that ain't cricket, Charlie. And the dicks are a little peeved. You couldn't get near a cop anymore and live to talk about it.
Well, if that's the spot I'm in, why are you taking such chances?
Because I like you, Charlie. You're a right guy. You see, I got a sort of a personal interest. We got mutual friends.
Have we? What am I going to do?
If you want to leave Chicago, Charlie, you might be able to make it by riding the Ruds.
You mean in a freight car?
It's your only chance. I know a spot near the outskirts of the city where the freights make a stop.
Then take me there.
We're on our way, baby. But first, we're going to pay a little visit to one of our mutual friends. After you, Charlie.
Where are we?
The freight stop is just below the hill. We'll walk over this way.
Through this cemetery?
That's where this friend of ours lives.
Look, I've changed my mind. There must be another way. Maybe I can reach that doctor who examined me.
I haven't changed my mind, Charlie.
What are you doing with that gun?
Get moving, mister.
Who are you, anyway?
Keep walking.
What's your name?
Dolly. The last name, Charlie, is Cal.
Cal?
Remember Harry Cal?
No.
You're just getting absent-minded. Well, this is far enough, Charlie. Turn around and look at the stone behind you. You can read, can't you? Harry Callett says, born July 8, 1909. Died March the 12th, 1945. The only thing it doesn't say is how he died.
Are you his wife?
I was, for 3 months. And you decided to make me a widow, Charlie. Now you know why I've been saving you from the cops, baby. I wanted to have the pleasure of killing you myself.
What are you going to do?
Give you a taste of what Harry got. Only you're getting a break. You shot him in the back, Charlie. I'm giving you a chance to see what's come up.
I tell you, I'm not Charlie Beach. I didn't kill your husband. Can't you believe me?
Go on, crawl. I like to watch you.
Look, you know what circumstantial evidence is? It's something you can't take for granted. You need more proof. I only look like Beach to you, but I'm someone else. You can't kill me because you've mistaken me for someone else.
I made no mistake. So long, Charlie. I might give Harry my love. You see him.
It's Beach! Shoot the killer! Don't let Beach get away! He only hit the day!
Snap out of it. I've been sleeping like a stiff for the last 4 hours.
Why is the dark here?
What do you expect in a freight car? Chandeliers? What kind of a rap are they after you for?
I haven't done anything.
Don't have me that. When you climbed aboard this cattle car outside of Chicago, there must have been 20 cops on your tail.
They're after me. I know. It's been that way for days. Hiding in cellars. Afraid to show my face. Running like an animal.
You must be plenty hot, sweetheart. A little too hot for me. I'm getting rid of you, see? You're leaving this freight car the next time it starts.
No. No, please. They'll kill me.
That's just too bad, sweetheart. But I ain't taking a rap for you.
No. I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be.
What are you talking about?
Can't escape it. Not too tired to try again.
We're slowing down. Okay, on your feet, sweetheart.
I can't see it. The dark.
Okay, mister. When I slide this door back, start running.
There he is! No! No, don't shoot! I'm not...
Yeah, we got him, Rolfie. Mr. Wainwright! Hey, Mr. Wainwright, what are you doing here?
Rolfie?
Easy now, Mr. Wainwright, you're okay.
Rolfie, the Larenz case. Plainly, maybe innocent. We've got to give him another trial.
Well, you got my wire, didn't you?
Your wire?
Yeah. And Larenz's boyfriend confessed to the murder while you were gone.
Good. Good, I'm glad. You don't know what I've been through. You don't... Rolfie.
Yeah?
You recognize me.
Yeah, I recognize you. I've been working with you long enough, Mr. Wainwright.
My face, is it... That's normal?
It looks all right to me. But how did you get into this freight car, Mr. Wainwright? We got a wire from Chicago to stop it here.
I know they thought I was someone else. They wanted to kill me on sight. But... Rolfie... The man you shot. The man I was riding with in that car. Who was he?
The escaped convict. Charlie Beach.
And that's the story of Mark Wainwright as recorded on The Clock. Coincidence? Well, perhaps, but an uncle of mine can testify to the veracity of that story. He occupies a prominent position on the courthouse wall of a small Midwestern town, and he's often watched a brilliant young lawyer plead his cases. But Mark Wainwright isn't prosecuting attorney anymore. He's now counsel for the defense.
The Clock will be heard again next week, same time. This program was written by Lawrence Klee and starred Hart McGuire as the voice of the Clock. As Mark Wainwright, you heard John Bushell as Brophy Ken Wayne. Others were Al Garcia, Len Teal, Margaret Christensen, and Owen Weingott. The Clock, directed by John Saul, is a Grace Gibson Radio production.
The Clock, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from March 20th, 1956. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now a script for the lineup series, which proved to be good enough to repeat about 7 months later on the show. It's the Blake Edwards story, The Senile Slugging Case, and features Sammy Hill, Mary Lansing, Howard McNear, Herb Butterfield, and Barton Yarborough, who you might recognize from Dragnet, who plays two parts. This was first heard on CBS on February 8, 1951.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Feel, Mr. Wiggins?
Better. I feel a little better.
Good. Well, we can sit right here. You need some help?
No, thank you. It's all right.
I'll see you later then, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant.
You bet.
Nice guy.
Klein? Yeah.
How many people do we have to look at?
Oh, I think they're 28 or 29. We've had two other cases like yours in the past week, Mr. Wiggins. We picked up a couple of guys that might be possibilities, but we haven't been able to get positive identifications.
Uh-huh.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire of the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, then name and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of a suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the bathroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. Okay, move it up over to this side of the stage. Spread out and stand facing the audience. Hands to your sides and keep looking straight ahead. Now, boys, when you answer the questions, talk up so the people out there can hear you. It's a long way to the back of the room, so keep your voices up. All right, number one, William Bushman, robbery. Take your hands out of your pockets. Where do you live, William?
108th and Lincoln.
Where are you from?
Los Angeles.
How long you been in this city?
About 7 months, I think. About 7 months.
Were you arrested with anybody, William?
Yeah, a couple guys.
Well, what were their names?
Joe. Joe, I don't know his last name.
Joe Lucas? Yeah, number 18, yes. Who was the other boy?
Call him Twitch. Herman Twitchell.
He's number 19. Any weapons, William?
No.
You have a car?
No, we was walking. If we had a car, we wouldn't be here.
Number two, Max Sloan, robbery. Where do you live, Max?
East Side.
You have an address, haven't you?
At 411 Orchid, South.
Were you alone when you were arrested?
Well, I was with the guy I was sticking up.
Was anybody arrested with you?
No, I was pulling the job. We weren't sticking up each other.
Oh, any weapons, Max?
You think he was giving me his water because I was pointing my thumb at him?
You want to be funny? We got all night, Max. You can just stand there and be funny all night.
I'm sorry.
Were there any weapons?
Yeah, 32.
Nickel-plated? Blue steel? What?
Blue steel. Not counting the rust.
You have a car?
Nope.
Okay, number three, Stanley Meyer. Robbery.
Any of these men?
No. Where do you live,
none
Stan?
Of those men. I don't recognize any of those.
Now, you'll have to speak up, Stan.
Said I don't live here. I'm from out of town.
Where out of town?
Wilmington.
Can you people hear him back there?
I can. A little louder, man.
Now, look. I told you boys you're going to have to talk up. I don't want to have to repeat the question, so talk up all the way to the back of the room. Now, where are you from, Stan?
Wilmington, Kentucky.
Where have you been staying here?
On one place, one night flop house.
What flop house?
Yes, a flop house. I don't remember. Who remembers a flop house?
Hi.
Hi.
Wiggins didn't spot anybody, huh?
No. Those two guys that jumped him did it too quick.
Oh, this is the third slugging in a week. Somebody better come up with a halfway decent description.
These guys aren't stupid. They follow a pretty routine M.O. Dark spots. Pick an old guy like Wiggins, jump him before he knows what's happening, beat him unconscious, then roll him. How much chance has he got for a decent description?
They're liable to kill somebody. They seem to be getting rougher.
Yeah. Here's a list of Wiggins' valuables. See that all the pawn shops are covered.
Okay, Ben.
Other two victims didn't have much that those guys might want to hawk. And Wiggins had a gold watch and an old stick pin. Watch had his name and an inscription. They might try to get rid of it.
We're in 13J tonight, huh?
Yeah. These boys move around, but they seem to stay pretty much to the east side. We'll have the usual cars and five auxiliaries. Waldo's putting about a dozen plainclothesmen on the streets.
It'd be funny if one of our boys got rolled.
Oh, they're too old. These guys pick them old so they won't give much trouble. Nice guys.
Yeah, swell. Hungry?
Yeah, a little.
Well, let's pull into Rogers and get a hamburger, huh?
Okay.
Order me a hamburger and coffee, will you, Ben?
Sure thing.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
56,
before 10 at the intersection of Timken Jeff. Hi. Hi. No, I don't need a menu. Two hamburgers and two coffees, please.
Two hamburgers, two coffees. Everything on the burger?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Attention all units in Area H. The 211 slugging at 87 West Bullock. All units in Area H. The 211 slugging at 87 West Bullock.
Ambulance is on its way. Oh, miss.
Yeah?
Hold those hamburgers.
What's this?
99.
What's up, Ben?
I'm slugging. About a block away.
You know, someday I'm going to finish a whole meal. Quine's already here. Hi, Quine. What's up?
Over here.
It's a woman. Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Good. Gosh.
I've done everything I can. Oh, here comes the ambulance. Now, this is the fellow that found her. Mr. Hall?
Yeah?
This is Lieutenant Guthrie. Tell him about it.
Well, I was walking by over on the sidewalk. I tossed a cigarette over here, and I saw her. Well, about then, I spotted this officer in the car, and I yelled.
Hi, Doc.
Another slugging, huh?
Yeah.
She's not dead, but she's close. Hey, get that blanket over. Looks like a bad fracture, really bad one. Lost a lot of blood.
You think she'll make it?
I don't know. Keep that end up. All
right.
She's pretty old. Lost a lot of blood. Oh, are you coming down, Lieutenant?
Yeah, we'll be down.
She didn't have anything on her, Ben. No identifications. They got everything.
Uh-huh. You just found her lying here, Mr. Hall?
That's right. Threw my cigarette over here. I wouldn't even have seen her if I hadn't thrown my cigarette.
They probably waited behind this hedge. Grabbed her when she passed, slugged her, and dragged her into the lot.
Yeah, it's a good spot for it. Good and dark.
Gee, it was a terrible thing. I still can't quite believe it. What are you going to do about it?
What do you think?
Lieutenant.
Oh, Murph. That 211 slugging that came in about a half hour ago. Who's got it?
The old lady?
Yeah.
She's in surgery now, Dr. Gurdon. That's the fourth one this week, isn't it, Lieutenant?
Yeah.
Mind if I look at your newspaper, Murph?
No, go ahead.
Coffee shop's closed, isn't it?
Yeah. You want some coffee?
Well, I could use some.
Want me to run down to the kitchen?
No, forget it.
No trouble.
No, thanks, Murph. We'll get some across the street later.
Hey, Ben.
Huh?
The tennis matches will be here Wednesday. You want to go?
We're on duty Wednesday.
Dr. Griswold, report.
Well, they'll be here for three nights. Let's go see him one night, huh? I'd like to see that Nancy Chafee.
That's a pretty girl. Picture in that last section someplace.
Yeah?
Sports section. Yeah, right there. Pretty girl, huh?
Yeah. Huh, Ben?
Yeah.
What do you say? Want to go?
Yeah.
Here comes Dr. Gurdon, Lieutenant. Doctor.
I'm Guthrie, Doctor, 16th Precinct.
How are you?
This is Sergeant Graham.
Hello.
Hello.
How's the old lady?
She died. Wasn't much we could do. Pretty well gone when she came in. Come on, walk down with me while I get out of this gown.
Sure. See you later, Murph.
Yeah. Take it easy, Murph.
So long.
Have you got an identification yet?
No, not yet. Fingerprints will help, though.
Well, we did just about everything. It's a bad fracture, a really bad one. When they're that bad, they don't stand much of a chance. Mm.
She regained consciousness at any time?
No. But the looks of the wound, whoever hit it with something pretty heavy.
Blackjack?
No. No, something like a pipe, maybe. Really let her have it.
Well, that's the way these boys have been working. We've had three others, but not this bad.
Uh-huh. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Sergeant?
No, thanks.
Yeah, it's hard to believe anybody would beat up an old woman, hit her that hard. Just doesn't make sense.
No, I don't guess it does.
These other victims, they have much money on them?
Add it all together, about $24.
Routine,
well, let's grab some coffee then, huh?
Okay.
99, a 415 at Lincoln and Lucas. KQAR 83070K, code 6.
Oh, I was just looking for you, Ben. Come on in.
Huh?
Mark sent us over the fingerprints on that old lady.
You got an identification?
Yeah. Well, he ran a check through, and that's what we came up with.
Huh?
Our woman's name is Stokes. Mrs. Rebecca Stokes lives at 518 North Oak with her daughter. Asher went over to get the daughter. We'll need a positive identification. Asher's taking her right down to the morgue. I thought maybe you'd like to talk to her first.
Yeah, I would. Let's go.
Daughter's name is Lillian Dunn. Hmm. She was married. Husband killed in the war.
Hello, Asher.
Good morning, Lieutenant. Oh, this is Miss Dunn. This is Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Gripp.
How do you do, Miss Dunn?
How do you do?
Hello.
We certainly wish we could eliminate all this, Miss Dunn, but it's necessary.
I don't think I can go through with it. I don't think I can do it.
Well, it's necessary. She has to be identified by a relative.
I just don't think I can.
Well, it is your mother. We're sure of that.
Sooner or later, you'll have to... sooner or later, you'll want to see her.
But not in here. Please, not in here.
We'll have to keep her here until we get a positive identification. Do you have any other family?
In Nevada, an aunt and a cousin.
Well, if they could get down here, they
could... haven't seen Mom in years.
Your mother's the fourth victim in a week. We've got to stop these men. We'll need some information.
All right.
Where was your mother going last night?
I guess she was coming home. She went to a movie early when I... guess she was coming home.
And did she have a purse with her? Any valuables?
Yes, she had a purse.
Can you remember some of the things she carried in her purse? Oh,
yes, I guess I can. There wasn't much, not much money.
Well, anything to identify her?
Some card things.
She have any jewelry? Any rings or a watch?
Yes. She had a wedding ring and an engagement ring that... they weren't worth much. I'm sorry.
Don't be. I think Miss Dunn better go on home, Asher. Get a description of the two rings and take her home.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'll do it. It's best to get it over with. I'll have to do it sooner or later.
Well, maybe we can get some close
friends. No, I want to. It's all right.
Okay. If you don't want to go through with
it. No. Go ahead.
All right. Charlie.
Sure deal him. King?
Uh-uh.
Lovely.
Hi. Who's winning?
Who do you think? Can't use it. No. Let's see. No?
Gin.
Oh, Quine, do me a favor, will you? Drop dead.
Well, you couldn't discard the three. He picked one up.
Oh.
Owe me 30 cents.
Kibitzes.
Oh, by the way, Waldo's got eight auxiliaries tonight. You and Matter and 13J again.
Well, how about the policewoman?
You get five of them. They'll be in the area from 10 till 2. One car within a block of them at all times.
Well, we got half an hour. You want some dinner?
Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
Okay.
Discard the three.
Wait a minute.
Well, you couldn't have.
Have what?
Discarded the three.
Oh, it had to be the jack, huh? Couldn't have been any of the nine other cards. You.
Yeah? Oh, hello, Mr. Wiggins. Yeah, I remember. You did? Where? 837 South Wilton. Okay. Yeah, we'll meet you there in about 10 minutes. Right.
That was Mr. Wiggins. He spotted his watch in a pawn shop. The watch the holdup men took after they slugged him.
There's Mr. Wiggins.
Yeah.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Now, where's the watch?
Right over here, in the window. There, the gold one. It's open. See the inscription?
Yeah. Okay, let's go in.
Yes?
Police.
Oh.
We want to see a watch you've got in your window.
Yeah, sure. Which one?
It's, that one, the gold one.
The gold? Sure. This one?
That it, Mr. Wiggins?
Yes, that's it. See the inscription? To Dave, love, Alice, my wife. She gave it to me.
Hot?
Yeah. You remember where you got it?
I got a ticket. Here you are.
John Jones, 671 Barrington. John Jones.
That's a good name.
You remember what the man looked like?
The man who hocked the watch? No.
You remember when he hocked it?
No.
Didn't you date the ticket? How long have you had it?
A week, maybe. What's so important about the watch?
It belongs to this gentleman, not to the man who hocked it.
Oh, okay. Take it. It ain't worth much.
It's solid gold.
Solid gold. I got dozens.
Now, what's your name?
Wagner. George Wagner. Look, I don't know nothing about it. This guy came in hot, that's all.
Look, Mr. Wagner, it's very important that we get a description of this man.
He stole it, huh?
Yeah, and he's got a friend. We want both of them for murder.
Murder?
That's right. You think you might know him if he came in again?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember.
You get one of these lists?
Lists?
One of these. List of stolen articles, like that watch.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
None of these other things in your store?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You didn't know about the watch. You better check.
Look, I know I ain't got none of them.
You didn't report the watch. You better check.
All right, I'll check. If I find something, I'll call you.
We'll wait.
While I check the whole inventory?
Just the tickets on the last week and a half.
Okay.
We'll take a look at them, too.
Sure. Okay. Look, officer.
Yeah?
I know the man that hocked that watch, but honest, I didn't know he killed nobody. I didn't know it.
What's his name?
Young, Carl Young. He's hocked things before. He's been in a couple times. I know him from the neighborhood, see? I didn't
his
think
name's
he was...
Carl?
Yeah, Carl Young.
The name in this watch is Dave.
He said it belonged to his brother.
You know his brother?
No, but I know him. He seemed like an honest guy.
Where does he live?
In the neighborhood. I bowl. He's in the bowling alley a lot. I bowled with him last Friday. Look, honest, he seemed like
Does he hang around with another guy?
I seen him with another guy sometimes. A big guy.
You better come down to the station, Mr. Wagner.
The station? Why?
I'm afraid you're in a little trouble.
Yeah, I know him. Carl
Does he prowl around with anybody?
Yeah, he's with one guy called Bill. A fellow named, let me see, what the heck was he? Quiet guy, big. It was John or Joe. Oh, gee, I'm sorry. Joe, I think it was.
Well, I think we'll stick around. You let us know if Carl Jung or Joe come in.
Sure, I will.
Coyne's got a dozen men checking the neighborhood. There are four cars in the block. Nobody does anything unless you give the word.
And if they both come in, we'll take them. One of them will tail them.
Okay. Gee, it's 3:30.
See that guy down there, second alley?
Yeah, what about him?
He's bowled six strikes.
Okay.
Fair. 150 so far.
Yeah, you need a few strikes, friend.
Yeah. There you are.
Okay, pick him up.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Yeah? Yeah, what is it?
That fella just came in.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, the big one. I said, hello, Joe. And he said, hello. His name must be Joe.
Oh, get a load of this guy. Yeah. Where is he?
Upstairs in the pool hall.
Come on, point him out.
Yeah, it's up here. Come on, right up here. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
That's him?
Yeah.
Come on, Matt.
He's out in the street.
Hold it. He's getting into a car. Come on.
There he goes.
Stay with him. 13J, code 3, suspect proceeding east on Fountain. License number 80 Roger 1135.
KQAR. Attention all units. Code 3. Suspect traveling east on Fountain. License number 80 Roger 1135.
He's swinging left.
13J. Suspect turning north on Lincoln.
KQAR. All units in area B. Code 3. Suspect proceeding north on Lincoln.
Don't get too close, Matt.
He's stopping.
Yeah, pull up. 13J, suspect at 3000 block, Lincoln.
He's getting out.
Now, let's go.
He's going into the building.
Now, hold it. We'll wait until the rest of the boys get here.
Well, there's Quine now.
Yeah. He's in the building, Quine. You better take it around the back in the alley just in case.
Right.
Oh, here's Asher.
Quine's taking the alley in the back. We'll go in and you wait here with the rest. Spread them out.
Yeah, right, Lieutenant.
All right, let's go, man.
Okay. How do we do it?
Find out what apartment he went in, clear out the building and take him.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Mailboxes.
Oh, yeah. Lipsky, Busher, Whiting.
C. Young. 208.
Uh-huh. Now, if they're in the room, we can just clear out the rooms on both sides. Forget the rest of the building. I'll take 206.
Okay, I'll take 210.
Yeah, sure. So what? I tell you, Carl, is that...
Excuse me.
Certainly.
I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. This dame ain't...
Ben.
Yeah?
That was Carl Jung with the big boy.
Come on. It's better. We'll take him on the street.
They're climbing into the car.
Hold it, Jung.
Look out, Carl!
Watch it, Ben.
Asher, over that way. Get them between us.
Yeah.
Give it up, Jung. Give it up. Watch it. They're breaking for the alley. Young's down.
Take this one, Asher.
Right.
All right. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Quine's got him.
Face the wall. Put your hands on the wall.
Okay. Okay.
Shake him down, Matt.
Okay.
Big boy wasn't as tough as he looked.
Oh, he's been fighting old ladies too long.
The Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off the number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask the question,
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, is written by Blake Edwards with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Sidney Miller, Bill Boucher, Herb Butterfield, Barton Yarborough, Sammy Hill, Mary Lansing, Howard McNear, and Tim Graham. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle.
The Lineup, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 8th of February, 1951, on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. It's been a pleasure.